privilege to be able to bring the word on the last evening service. Is Gilly here? Yeah. Okay. Oh, summer camp, of course, yes. All right. Okay, great, guys. Sorry, I had to close the door. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to preach because I brought notes tonight and not a computer. Yeah, so if you really sweat and it's difficult, then I'll excuse you. You can stand in at the back with your arms like this so the wind can blow through. Okay, I'm not going to read your letter like my husband. On his last sermon, we cried a lot, and he read a lot of thank yous and everything, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I said to the Lord last Sunday evening, I didn't know yet that I was going to preach tonight. And after Gilly's sermon, we said in the office the Sunday morning, I don't know who's going to preach Sunday night, but where do you pick it up from there? So I'm the lucky one to pick it up from there. Last week Sunday was very special, and yeah, the Lord really anointed Gilly with that word that he brought, so that was very nice. I just want to remind you that you can get all our sermons on our website if you missed one. And we know that we have family obligations, and sometimes you're just not in town. So you're so much welcome just to go download it. I've said this before, I'm going to do it again, but you go to www.shofaronline.org. It opens on the Stellenbosch page, if I'm correct. You click in the left corner, change congregation. Then you go to Paul, because we are Paul congregation. Then you go to downloads, and there's everything you need. So it's actually quite easy. It takes a few minutes to download, and then you can listen to it, all right? So that you can be sure that you're with us all. Okay, let's just pray quickly. Father, I actually don't know what to say or to pray anymore, because I know that your Holy Spirit is here. And I just want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, for blessing us with your presence. And thank you that we can just sit in your presence tonight, God, and just really enjoy you. I bring my words to you, Lord, and I ask that you will come and take over now, Father. And, yeah, and we lift our expectation of what you want to do in us tonight. Not in some hearts, Lord, in every heart yet, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I am very emotional. I've been emotional since intercession, and it's not because it's my last time. I really feel the Holy Spirit's presence here. Sure, so that's very blessed. The title of my sermon tonight is, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Does that ring a bell? Excuse the pun. Yeah, that's a Christmas song, eh? It's the most, I can't sing, but yeah, that's a Christmas song. When I walk into the mall or into Pick n Pay or Checkers or wherever, we are bombarded with glittering balls and strings, and there's a whole aisle where the stationery used to be. I love stationery, and now it's just Christmas stuff. And I really struggle this time of the year to go to the shop, because this thing, it actually suffocates me. I'm like, I'm short of breath, and I honestly just want to get out of there. I don't know if some of you feel the same. It's as if people will trample all over one another to get the angel, to go buy the angel, or to get the glass balls, or whatever. It's just lavish, lavish spending all around. And I really struggle with that. I don't want to go to the shops every year. I buy my food way in advance, and I tell myself I do not go there. We disappear over December holidays. We don't want to see a shop. In Stillby, we used to go to Stillby. We hide. Luckily, our house is away, like no one knows where it is. No one, it's like away from town. This year we're not going there. We're going to the farm where there's just no one. Not no one. It's harvest time, but there's like no shops or anything. I really don't like that. And I'm going to talk about that tonight, because you know, there's a reason why I honestly don't like that. A few weeks ago, it's actually a couple of months ago, I went to the mall on a Saturday morning. I made the mistake of going to the mall on a Saturday morning. Because we never go. Obviously, I don't like crowds in the shop. I hate standing in a queue. I hate it. So I'm not good with patience. And while I was walking, I actually just wanted to buy some groceries for the weekend. And I ended up just like walking through the mall. And I actually got depressed. And I went home. I said to Rick, shoo, I'm not feeling like it now. I'm in such a bad mood, actually. And I was thinking, I was watching all these people. And then I was thinking to myself, I can't buy what they buy. Just look what they buy. Then they have the kids in the trolley. The kids have a toy each. My kids are like, we want something. We want something. Why can't we have anything? I'm like, well, where are you guys in the week? You're never here in the week. Now you're coming to Saturday. And I was just bombarded by all of this, that materialism. It actually jumped on me. Like, I felt bad because I couldn't buy stuff for my children and I couldn't buy anything. And I was watching all these men because my husband never goes to a shop or a mall. And I was thinking to myself, what are you doing here? Do you actually like it? I don't know. What do you buy? I was actually watching this one man and I was checking where he's going in. Like, what shops do they go into? I don't know. And I was thinking, do you have money? Where do you get the money to buy what you want to buy? All of this is going through my mind. And I was just down in the dumps and I came home. I said to Rick, no, it wasn't nice. And he said to me, oh, you must just get over it. Go repent or whatever. And I just realized, yeah, that is wrong, Lord. I'm not part of this world and I don't want to be part of this world. And yes, they do things differently. So maybe you also feel like that, then we can cry together. But yeah, just to look at what they buy. And then I was thinking to myself, I think they find comfort in that. That is why they buy. They find comfort in the fact that they can buy their kids stuff or they can buy Woolies food or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. I buy Woolies food. But I just think that people find comfort in those kind of things. And if they had a successful morning in the mall and they have enough packets in their trolley, they find comfort in that. And then they feel fired up to take on the week or whatever. And obviously we know that is false, but yeah. Like you know, we're moving to Stellenbosch and we are looking to find a house. And it's really a tricky situation. I keep talking to the Lord about this because we know that God wants to provide for us in a beautiful way. I mean, I'm George Nicholas. George Nicholas is actually my landlord. But anyway, we were really blessed with the house that we rented from his parents. It really fell from heaven, and we were so blessed. And I know God still wants to bless me in that way. But as we look at houses in Stellenbosch, Stellenbosch, I think, I don't know what it's like. It's just like crazy. It's very expensive. It's so cluttered. No one's got big homes. Everything is small and on top of one another, and you walk right into your neighbor's thing. Now, I was a student, it was like that, but families also live like that. So all the time I'm confronted with, what do we need? What do we really need? What is necessary for us? And what is luxury? And I'm like, Lord, but I want luxury. I want a nice house. Gilly prayed over us. We will have a house with a swimming pool. So we survived in Paul without a swimming pool, so I'm sure we'll make it without a swimming pool. So all these thoughts are going through my mind. And as I started to pack up the house, I see how much stuff we have that we actually don't need. Especially my kids. They have a lot of toys. My sister once said to me, your kids have lots of toys. And I'm like, no, man. I don't know where you come from. You're the guys with all the money. We don't have lots of toys. But as I pack it up, I realize we do have not only toys, but lots of stuff. And I was thinking of giving it all away because we don't need it. Some other people can actually use it. So some of our house, maybe your house is also like that. Maybe I'm the only sinner. But yeah, all those stuff that I went to buy because I thought it was going to bring comfort to the kids. Now we're going to throw it all away. Anyway, yeah, I want to tell you a story out of the Old Testament tonight, just to start with. It's from Jeremiah 33. It's not up there, but that's where you get the story. Israel was already in the promised land. You guys don't have to page there. You can just write it down if you want to. You can read it at home, Jeremiah 33. And we know that they forsook the Lord lots, and they turned their back on the Lord a lot, although they were in the promised land. And one of the things that Israel did in this time that they turned their backs on the Lord is that they started to worship the god Molech. Yeah, there's different pronunciations to the name, but Molech. And what they did with this god, it was an Ammonite god. They sacrificed children. They sacrificed their babies to this god. And this was the god of fire. That's the one name that it's known by, or the god of money, or the god of comfort. And I read this story a while ago, and it really struck me. I knew it. I knew this piece of history. But I actually didn't know it was the Israelites. But it was the Israelites who did that, who turned their back on the Lord. And that's what they did. And God commanded them that was not for them. It's not like they didn't know. In Leviticus 18, that's up there. God said to them in Leviticus, all the laws are put out for them. What can they do? What can't they do? And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Okay, so they were aware of the fact that they should not do this. All right? But still they did. And I was thinking to myself, why did they do this? Why? Why would you sacrifice your baby to a God like that? All right, so this is very dull, but bear with me. They worship this God at several stages. For those of you who like to read your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians. Not now, but you can read it in 2 Corinthians. They offered or they worshiped this God, as well as in Jeremiah 7. Just read those chapters. And I guess they did this so that it can bring comfort and peace to them, because that is why you worship an idol, so that it can bring comfort and peace. When we were in India, we were walking through temples interceding, and then you will see people throwing money or burning money to the god, or to their gods. So they want something from their god. Now in India, they don't want their god. They want to please their god so that their god does not take away something or strike them with something. So they just want to please them all the time. So they give them all this money. And I can see that these are actually poor people. But they take literally, it's physical, it's money. And they throw it in the fire to burn, etc. So it happens all over the show. But I guess that makes them happy. And if you ask people out there, what's life all about? Most of them will say, well, I want to be happy. Isn't that what people want? Now, we don't do human sacrifices today, or very often people do, but most of us don't. But if we just look at our abortion rate, inside, outside the body of Christ, I think we bow our knee to this God very, very often. But we saw in the Bible that they killed babies in mass in Egypt, when the Pharaoh commanded the baby boys to be killed, as well as in Bethlehem, when they, I'm not going into all of that, but they were looking for Jesus, so they were also killing all the babies, all right? So there is a Norman carnal practice that people did today. Okay, so this got me thinking, what value do we place on life today? The value that we put on life. Remember, Jesus came to give us life. And life in abundance. All right? But now, what value do we place on life today? If I see just that I look at schools, I look at even in the workplace, and I don't see anyone except the church here and there making an effort, for example, to stop pornography. Pornography is like a cancer that eats you up from side to side. For men and women, not only men, women as well. But nothing is being done by it, all right? So we don't care if you go down in your destruction. We really just don't care. So that's the one thing that I was thinking about. If we look to abuse, I saw this ad today about women abuse. It's now 16 days of whatever for women abuse. It really struck me, the visuals that they have on that ad. The drugs, the slave trade of the day. We know that sex trade is very popular. According to the 821 campaign, I follow them on Facebook. They do beautiful work for sex victims, slave victims. A slave cost $40,000 back in 1850. 40,000, what's that, times 8. Okay, that's a lot of money. Today, it's approximately $90. Right, so there's just no more value. We don't put value on life. And I think that's why people can sacrifice life easily. Because we don't value it anymore. That's why it's easy to sacrifice your baby. Because it's just not valuable. There's just no value on it. That God or that idol is more important than the baby, for example. Now, I know all of this is very grim. I know it's very grim. I'm not going to go any further. But I just want to show you that the world that we live in today is set out to brainwash us. Now, that is being said of the church often, that the church wants to brainwash us. But the world is out to brainwash us today. Now, remember, there is either light or darkness. It's either the Lord or it's the devil. There is no in between. If you are not for God, then you are against God. And this is, it's harsh realities, guys, but this is what it is. Okay, so what happens to, if I talk about the world, that's not the Lord. The world is our media. It's the evil one is all over it. It's everybody that does not know the Lord. Some of them are ignorant. Some of them decided not to follow Jesus, all right? But that is the world, and they want to influence us as badly as they can. Remember that the devil will throw anything at you so that you do not experience God's love, God's acceptance for you, that you do not experience how Jesus' blood can set you free. He will go to great lengths to keep you from that, because his only goal for you is to kill you. That's all. There's nothing good further in the devil. He wants to kill you and take you to hell. Then he's won. So that is the reality. Sorry, I might shock some of you. I see some younger people as well, but then at least you know it now. All right. So I can understand, actually, that if the world is telling us that you are honestly nothing and that your life is worth nothing, that you can just take it, that you can just throw it away, throw it to the wolves, let people trample upon it because you are just worth nothing, you're just a loser, you're made that way, you're just going nowhere. So I can honestly understand why people want to do that, if there's no understanding in their life. And just a plain example, you know this, I'm just going to tell you once again. If we watch movies, I can ask you now, how many fornications have you seen in your life? Hoeveel keer het jy gesien dat daar buite huwelikse seks plaasvind op 'n fliek? Okay? In every single DVD we watch. I'm checking when it will come into the Disney movies as well. Okay? Every single one we see that happen. Am I right? With the exception of a very few. Okay, so the first time we watched that, that was like, whew, this verkeerd, that's wrong. But now we've watched over hundreds of them. And all of a sudden, if that happens in the movie's not bad. There's a good story, it's a good story to me. You know, that kind of thing. All right? So I just want to show you that you get, what is the word? Desensitized to that. The same with violence, but we all know the violence example. Kids that watch violence on television, by the time they grow up, it's not weird for them, so they just shoot their friend because they've seen it so many times. All right. So that is the plan of the evil one, is to brainwash you and say that you are worth nothing, you can do whatever you want, there is no law, just throw it all away, mess it all up, and die. That's all that there is to life. And everything in the world is feeding that to us. If I walk in a mall and I see all those people shopping and I think this is probably the highlight of the week, I realize the lie that they are believing. So they have to run and buy these glass bulbs for the tree because the Tunny next door's got them, my friends got them, the Joneses got them. If I don't have them, I don't have value. I have to buy presents. I have to give everyone a present. And they said it has to be 150 rand a person. And if I cannot do that, I'm not good enough. This is not a sermon against Christmas. Okay, don't worry about that. That's a sermon for another day. But all I'm saying, can you understand what is feeding this? And that is why I suffocate when I go into the shops. I want to dive the Christmas father down. I don't want my kids to see him. My kids don't know who they are. Fia the other day said to me, "Hi, who's that?" I said to him, "Hi, this is Umi met 'n rooi pakkie aan." She doesn't have to know it's Father Christmas. Anyway. So all I want to do tonight, I know that you guys know these things, but I just want to put a red light on once again. I want to warn you people, and especially in this time when the Christmas songs are going glorious and everybody is singing and everybody's in this mood, but it is the wrong mood that we're in. And the church is in that mood as well. So I want to warn you about this. I want to say we should not fall into this trap because we are totally missing the mark. So the whole world celebrates this. I always laugh because the Chinese celebrate it the most. Most of them have never heard about Jesus even, but they also celebrate Christmas. It's just amazing. But anyway. And just the amount of money that are being spent during this time, it blows my mind. Money that God gave to you for your family to provide for. All right? That's a sermon for another day. How do you provide well for your family? All right? But then we blow it away on klomp nonsense. Okay, so now what does the Word of God say? Because Alida has been talking a lot, but I'm not the Word of God. This is the Word of God. What is God's heart for us? And what did Jesus came to show us? Remember, God sent Jesus. I think in the Old Testament, people could not really, they didn't see God, they didn't understand God. I think Andre said it this morning in the service. He said, yeah, they wanted to, Moses said to the Lord, I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. What do you look like? And then God sent Jesus so that we can see God, so that we can see what would God be like. What will God do in our circumstance in if he has to be a man? Jesus came to be that man and came to be all of that for us. So we're going to go into the Bible. Just this afternoon, I just got a fresh revelation of how precious this little book is. I just realized those poor Israelites, yes, they sinned a lot. They really turned their backs on God. But if you are without sin, please throw the first stone, because I'm not. But anyway, we have the Bible. We have the Word of God talking to us. Mine is big, small, yours can be big, purple, pink, doesn't matter. This is the Word of the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to talk to us. We are so extremely privileged. It blew my mind. I was crying the whole afternoon. That's why my eyes are so thick. I'm one of those blessed people whose eyes swell up when they cry. But anyway. Okay, so in this book, it shows us Jesus. If you do not know Jesus, and if you want to get to know him better, you must read this book. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus. Holy Spirit, show me Jesus. You can even see Jesus in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Crazy stuff, eh? Okay. So Jesus was born. Jesus came to show us the way. He came to be the example for us. He came to model for us what we should live on, actually, like how we should live on earth. So where was Jesus born? In a manger, between animals. I've given birth before. I did not want to choose a manger between animals. I would like to be in Mediclinic with a very expensive gynae. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? But I just want to give you an example. Jesus was born in a manger, nothing fancy. Guys, can you imagine Joseph? He had to do the delivery. Oh, you're very lucky today. You don't have actually to do all of that. You don't even have to witness if you don't want to. You can just hold a hand. Jesus was raised as a carpenter. Okay, hy het houtwerk gedoen. Nie flashy geld stuff. There's nothing wrong with geld stuff. But he did houtwerk. That's a humble job to do. He worked hard with his hands. Okay? And then Jesus started with his ministry. And what's so beautiful for me is Jesus did not have a house. I'm now really wanting a house. And I'm like, just Jesus never had a house. The people provided for him along the way. He was not connected to a house. He did not have a nice couch. He did not have a fan. It was hot where they lived. Yeah, he just, he didn't have a house. It's so beautiful. Luke 9:58. Just want to read that to you. Oh, I skipped a slide. We will come back to that just now. We skipped a slide, sorry. Luke 9:58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Okay, he was not sorry for himself, but he didn't have a house. Do I say you don't have to have a house? No, just bear with me, okay? If you love someone, then you will follow them. The day that I got married to Rick Borman was glorious. I have our wedding pictures right next to my mirror, so every morning I see it. When I brush my hair or I have to do makeup or whatever, I check that out. And then I'm reminded by the fact that I promised that man that I will go wherever he has to go. I will follow him. And I believe that today with all my heart. If God sends him to wherever, doesn't matter, I'm not going to call out a name, I will follow him because I love him. And as long as I can be with him, that's fine. All right, so now we say that we love Jesus. We sing it over and over and over again. And Jesus is saying to us, follow me. That is what you do if you love someone. Okay, now we're going to go to this wonderful book. I'm going to go fast, so you're not going to follow the scriptures. I all have them on there for you. We're going to read the word. Everywhere where Jesus tells his people, the disciples, someone he met on the road, to follow him. He says it over and over and over and over and over again. It's not like you have to read through the whole Bible to find it, like it's hiding somewhere. It's everywhere. Follow him. All right. Are you ready? Let's start. Are you ready? That sounded Australian or British. What did that sound like? Anyway, Luke 9. Okay. Luke 9, verse 23 to 24. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, this is so beautiful, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And this is the beauty of Jesus. He boggles your mind. Because things are not supposed to work that way. That's like the wrong way around. But that is the gospel of Jesus. All right? I'm going to read it to you again. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, Jesus' sake, the same shall save it. Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 8:22. But Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. That's a sermon for another day, but I just want to give you another example. Follow me. All right? Jesus het dit nie ligtelik gesê nie. Okay? En hy was baie duidelik hieroor. Want mense het allerhande verskonings gehad, their excuses why they could not follow him. And he said to them, just follow me. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Matthew the tax collector. Bad guy. Corrupt. Steals the people's money. Jesus walks up to you. Maybe you feel like that tonight. Maybe you think, I'm just too much of a sinner. Jesus is saying to you tonight, it doesn't matter what you do or where you are, follow me. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 19:21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Okay, that guy had an issue. He was very rich. Jesus just wanted to say to him, you have to leave it behind. Am I saying you have to leave your riches behind? No. I want to show you the heart of Jesus. He can cross every bridge. Your riches, your sin, wherever you are, he crosses it and he tells you, just follow me. Mark 2:14, and he passed by. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Many stories like that all over the Bible. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Beautiful scripture. We are Jesus' sheep. He talks to us. We should know his voice. And we should follow him. What was the last thing that Jesus said to you? And were you obedient to his voice? Last one, John 21:22. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to do? You follow me. This guy was talking about someone else. He was asking questions about someone else. And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to do with you? Okay? You follow me. Never mind the rest. Work out your own salvation. Get to know me. All right? I'm in control. I want you. The last while, every time I prayed for quite a few different people, God showed me the same picture. He showed me God was sitting like in a coffee shop, and then the person that came for prayer, they were running around giving out tea and coffee for everyone. All around God's table, servicing the whole house, doing hard work, being busy. But God is just waiting for them to go sit down and look God in the eye and just to talk to him. So maybe that's a word for you as well tonight. Because we are so busy with the right things. We are so busy giving everybody tea that we miss the Lord. And he's sitting right there in the middle and he's waiting for you just to sit down, take a sip from the tea that you've poured, look him in the eyes and say, "Hello, God, I've missed you. How are you doing? What's up? Where are we going? What's our next adventure?" I talked about that a while ago, going on an adventure with the Lord. Yeah, that was a good, that was a lucky one. So I know, because God gives us adventures. That's so awesome. If you think that this is all very boring and eenvoudig, moet je daarin gaan luister. Yeah. Okay, guys, how do you know that God places value on your life? Because this is the difference. The world tells you that you have no value. You can mess up as much as you like. It doesn't matter because your life has got no value. So how do we know then? Because I want to show you Jesus is the counterfeit. He's the other part. Okay, the world tells you that. Jesus tells us this. So how do we know that our life actually has value? Okay, God gave his beloved son. Not the one he didn't like. Not the one with all the trouble. His beloved son. He only had one. He gave him to be spit on, to be humiliated, to be crucified for you. And for you, and for you, and for me. It is finished. In that, he did it all, everything. Jesus did it all for you. And many times we hear people say when they preach that if you were the only one on earth, Jesus would still have come to die for you. And that is true, because God's love is the same for each and every one of us. All right, Marissa, can you maybe just come and play for me a little bit? I'm almost finished. I just sent some music in the house here. In the Bible, it tells us also the value, obviously the crucifixion and Jesus, but I want to take you to Psalm. Just see how beautiful it is, how we were made. We know all these things. I'm just encouraging you tonight, and I'm just putting a red light on, so just bear with me. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. Beautiful. God is with you in your mom's womb because he is growing you. It's not a hormones that's growing you. It's God that's growing you. Psalm 27 verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. My kids are a reward to me and to Rick. They truly are. And that is how God sees each and every one of you. Whether your parents value you or not, it doesn't matter. God values you. He knew about you even the day when you were conceived in your mom's womb, and he placed value on your life. And I can stand today and I can say to you, stop looking at the world. Stop believing the lies that they are telling you. Stop sacrificing valuable life that Jesus gave us to a god of money, a god of whatever. It's all the same. It's the world. We throw our pearls before the swine because we do not believe that we have that life that is so precious. So I'm just telling you tonight, you have that life. Yana, if you can just go back to that slide to me about the abomination. It's just so beautiful for me. God's heart. He said to the Israelites, he talked to them about the idols, and he said to them, where you sacrifice your babies to that God, it is an abomination to me. So those are synonyms of abomination. It's an outrage to God. It's a disgrace, a scandal. It's a horror, atrocity. So this is not something that the Lord takes lightly. I know that we do not sacrifice babies, but I know, me included, that we bow before the God of money often. And that is how God feels about it. Because we put our life and our life that he gave us in abundance aside, and we say, I want that, because that will bring me comfort. That will bring me riches. That will bring me favor with my friends. I want that. And we run after that. If you've never experienced how content God can make you, then you will not understand this. And then I want to pray for you tonight and ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. Because I can promise you, especially in this year, I've experienced the Lord as such a gentle God. He really, really came this year and just pursued my heart. He took tender care of me. And the world will never do that to you. Never. And obviously, if you've never tasted this, then it will not make sense what I'm saying to you now. But then you have to go back, then you don't have to believe me, but you have to believe the word that Jesus died for you, and that is enough. So I want to leave with you tonight that, guys, we should wake up. And we should really repent and say sorry to the Lord that so often we bow our knees to this. We bow our knees to that which the world adores, to that which the world tells you is awesome and great. We don't spend time with families, with our children, with our parents. We don't honor them. We just go from the one thing to the next thing. We buy this, we buy that, we go there on holiday, etc. We eat this, we do that, and we miss life in abundance that we only find in Jesus. He is the only one that can really bring you to that place of contentment. Contentment is wanneer jy voel jy niks nodig nie. Jy is so tevrede net daar waar jy is. Met dit wat jy het. And you can be someone living in a shack, not having food for tonight, and you can be content in Christ. And I know people like that. We don't need everything that the world tells us. Can we just close our eyes? Can we stand and close our eyes? I want you to think tonight. What must you leave behind in order for you to follow Jesus? You can keep your eyes closed, but what must you leave behind tonight in order for you to follow Jesus? Because he's saying to you tonight, follow me. And I can promise you, once you've left that behind, that will be your most wonderful time of your year. So think about that. I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, we need to repent tonight. We need to say that we are sorry, Lord, that we value the life in abundance that you've given us, the eternal life that you've given us. We value that as very little so many times, and tonight again. Jesus, we repent tonight that we sell ourselves, Lord, to the promises of this world. We sell ourselves to money. We sell ourselves to that which the world shows us we should do. We satisfy ourselves with the pleasures that the world allures us with, Lord. We repent tonight, God, that we have a worldly standard and we do not see you, Jesus, as the standard, and we want to say sorry, Lord. Jesus, we say sorry that we shun you aside so many times. Holy Spirit, we are sorry that we quench you so many times because we deliberately choose the other way. We say we love you, Lord, but we do not follow you. So, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. And tonight, Lord, we just want to choose, Lord. We want to recommit and choose you. We do not want to take what you did on the cross lightly, Lord. We remember that. We do not want to sacrifice our babies like the Israelites did, Lord, for comfort, for money, to be happy, to run after the world of these things, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you are so welcome in this place tonight, and I pray that you will come and you will open people's hearts and you will show them what they should leave behind. Show them now. I trust that you will show them, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you are gentle, and like you've worked with me this year, always gentle. I pray that you will do it tonight. Can we switch off the lights, please? And I just wanted, we're going to spend time just in the Lord's presence. So if you want to sit, then you're welcome to sit. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. Doesn't matter. I just want you to relax. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is here. I know that. And He wants to spend some time with you. And open your heart so that He can just minister to you. I believe that this is not a difficult message. It's easy. So Lord, we thank you that tonight you will come and unveil to them. Unveil to me. Unveil to us, Lord. The things that we've been blinded to. The things that we've been believing. The lies that the world is telling us. And we take off that veil tonight in Jesus' name. And we pray that we will be a people that will see. There's a song that says, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. And maybe that is you tonight. You sit at the coffee table or you run around. You need to sit down and look God in the eye, because He's in this room and He wants to talk to you. So I'm going to, those of you who want to sing in the Spirit, you're welcome to. If you just want to listen to God's voice and be quiet, you're welcome to do that. I just ask that no one will leave now, and just show respect to the Holy Spirit being here with us. You must leave behind, and you have a pen and paper with you. I want you to write it down, because next week you must look at it, and in a month's time you must look at it, and you must remember the night that you decide to leave that behind to follow Christ. Jesus, nothing can compare with knowing you. Nothing of this world can compare, God, to the peace that we find in you, Lord. To that inner joy in times of trouble. Only you can bring that. Holy Spirit, only you can be that sweet, sweet aroma around us. And nothing compares. God, we want to lift you high, Lord. And we want to say, Lord, we do live for your glory. We want to live for your glory. I just sense that everything that we are leaving behind and that we are laying down tonight, I just sense that the Holy Spirit is going to, I see like this river coming into the church building, and it's actually just flooding it all away. To flood it all away. Throw it in the river if you've not yet. Throw it in so that it can go. If you are scared, to leave things behind, tell that to the Lord. Tell Him, God, I'm scared to leave this. I find my identity in this, or it's important to me, or whatever. Tell Him that. He knows it anyway. Speak to Him. Father, no longer will we sacrifice. Jesus, we will not sacrifice for comfort any longer to the God of comfort. We want to give our lives, Lord, as a sacrifice to You for everything that You've done. And we want to see Your kingdom come through us, Lord. It's not an option, God. We want to, and we choose that tonight. Spirit is saying that there are some of you are holding on to hurts in the past and you don't want to let go of that. I want you, if that is you, to think of that now. Where was that? Where did you get hurt? I want you to take Jesus with you there and tell Him you struggle to leave this behind. He must help you. Father, we thank You that You are a good Father to us. You've always been that to us. And in those times of hurt, Lord, You were with us. We renounce the lie that You were not. You were with us, God. And Jesus, we give that pain. We give that hurt to You tonight in Jesus' name. We know that You are the only one that can heal and can save and can mend our wounds. And we pray that tonight in Jesus' name. And we say that that hurt and that past will no longer hold us back from following You. I sense that there are people in the house, you've never said to the Lord that you love Him. And if you love the Lord tonight, say it to Him. Say it to Him in your own words. Say, Lord, I love You. Holy Spirit, hello. Never talk to you. Like Hilly said last week, hello, Holy Spirit, good morning, good evening. I love You, I treasure You. Jesus, I love You. Thank You for what You did on the cross.